So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Holy God, through the generations you have spoken to us. You have sent voices crying out in the wilderness. You have sent the words of an overjoyed new father and an expectant mother. You have sent the assurance of a condemned man on a cross. Quiet in us any voice but your own, that by the power of your Spirit, we might hear the words you speak to us today. Amen. A reading from Psalms 116, NIV version. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. The word of God for the people of God.
Morning. My name is Debbie Allen, and I have the incredible privilege to be the superintendent now for the Southwest District. I began my ministry in Fort Myers when I graduated from seminary in 2001. I was assigned to Tice United Methodist Church and served there for 3 years. Before going on to serve other appointments in the Gulf Central District. My husband and I spent 13 years later in the North Central District serving in two different places. And so it feels like home to be back in this district, and it certainly feels like home to be back in Fort Myers today and with all of you. And so I'm grateful for this time and for this place and space to be able to share about Thanksgiving as a spiritual practice with you today. So let's just take a moment and center our hearts and once again go before God in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, what a privilege it is to be gathered in the sanctuary through technology, to be in your presence together. And as we are gathered, we ask that you would just continue to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Give us ears to hear and hearts to be transformed. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Growing up, I was always one of those glass is half full people. Some people in my life called me a Pollyanna because it seemed like I could always find a silver lining no matter what the situation was. And I always seemed to want to believe the best of people, no matter what they might have kept showing me through their actions over and over again. And this continued really throughout my life until about 5 years ago. And about 5 years ago, I hit a really cynical period in my life. I was even starting to move from being cynical into being bitter. It had to do with a lot of things that were sort of all converging at one time. Some things that were not going well in my personal life and some things that were struggles in ministry in the local church. And everything seemed like doom and gloom, no matter where I looked. I just couldn't see any way forward. I was losing hope. My best friend recommended that I see a spiritual director. Now, I had been going to counseling for a while because in my mid-30s, I had lost both of my parents. As an only child, that was pretty devastating and disruptive. And so I had been doing this grief work in counseling, but my best friend, you know, those people who just know you well and can speak truth into your life, she suspected that this was more about my struggle and my relationship to God. And so she suggested that I see a spiritual director. They're sort of trained to be companions on the spiritual journey. They don't necessarily offer strategies. They listen and they reflect and they ask deep questions to help you reflect deeper. And so I went. And after my first session, my spiritual director gave me homework to do every single day. I was not happy. I was already someone who journaled. So she asked me to write down 3 things every night before I went to bed that I was grateful for, that I wanted to thank God for. And she said I couldn't use my husband or my children. And I really kind of rolled my eyes at that. I was frustrated. I didn't see how writing down things that I was thankful for was going to make any kind of difference. But I started trying. And some days were hard. Some days I couldn't think of much to list in the beginning. Sometimes the things I listed were pretty basic, like the sunset or that it didn't rain that day. But slowly over time, My perspective began to transform, practicing gratitude every single day. Caused me to start to look for the good things around me. The ways and places God was at work that I had not been able to see or notice. I know that there are times when it is tough to be thankful and to express gratitude. It's hard to be thankful when we're sick. It's hard to be thankful when we are denied something that we had our heart set upon. It's hard to be thankful when we lose something or someone that we love. But I experienced the truth that whatever we focus on becomes larger than life. When you focus on what you lack, it seems like everyone has more than you do. When you focus on your problems, they seem overwhelming. And when you focus on problems, problems are what you seem to find everywhere that you look. This is more than anecdotal. In a study published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, they had a test group that was asked daily to write down 5 things for which they were thankful. And at the end of doing this every day for 1 week, just 1 week, that group reported better sleep patterns and a more positive emotional outlook than their control group that was not reflecting on gratitude every day. Just in 1 week, 5 things every day. Practicing gratitude helped me change my outlook. It helped me transform my life. I've kept up with that journaling practice every day 5 years now. And after years of continuing to do this practice, most days I can't stop now at just 3 things. Last year, I read a book someone gave me called The Healing Practice of Celebration. It was written by Dr. Elaine Heath, who used to be the dean of Duke Divinity School. I read the book, and I was so excited by it. Then I taught a class about it in our church. It was even more helpful for me because it helped reframe thankfulness and gratitude, not just as an attitude, but as a spiritual discipline of celebration and to keep my joy really rooted in God. After reading that book, my daily journaling is really less about what I am thankful for and more about gratitude and the ways at which I am seeing God at work, for which I am grateful. But do you notice the difference from just thanking God for the sunset to noticing how God is at work all around us? It's easy for us to celebrate when we are happy and things are going well. It's harder to maintain when we're sad and circumstances aren't going our way. And this kind of attitude of gratitude that we sometimes talk about in November or around Thanksgiving seems to sort of be tied to circumstances, but this is more. Thanksgiving as a spiritual discipline of celebration is even more important for us to keep up when our circumstances aren't the best. And Dr. Heath in her book listed some of the reasons that we as believers have to celebrate. That God is for us and not against us. That because of the incarnation, God is actually with us. And that God is continuing to work in the world and is making all things new. I love Dr. Heath's work. It's more than an attitude of gratitude. It's Thanksgiving as a spiritual practice because we do have so much to celebrate as believers. God has given us so much. We cannot outgive God who would give us his own son, right? 1 John 4:9 tells us that Jesus is how God showed his love among us, for he sent his only son into the world that we might live through him. We cannot outgive the one who spares nothing. And I love our scripture lesson from Psalm this morning because it does remind us of so many of God's incredible gifts. I'm going to read it again for us from the Message version to help it resonate in our spirit this morning. I love God because he listened to me. He listened as I begged for mercy. He listened so intently as I laid my case before him. Death stared me in the face. Hell was hard on my heels. Up against it, I didn't know which way to turn. And then I called to God for help. "Please, God," I cried out, "save my life." And God is gracious. It's he who makes things right, our most compassionate God. God takes the side of the helpless. When I was at the end of my rope, he saved me. I said to myself, "Relax and rest. God showered you with blessings. Soul, you've been rescued from death. Eye, you've been rescued from tears. And you, foot, were kept from stumbling. I am striding in the presence of God, alive in the land of the living. I stayed faithful, though overwhelmed, and despite a ton of bad luck, despite all of the human race saying they're all liars and cheats, I will lift up the cup of salvation, a toast to God. I will pray in the name of God. I'll complete what I promised God I would do, and I will do it together with his people. When they arrive at the gates of death, God welcomes those who love him. Oh God, here I am, your servant, your faithful servant. Set me free for service. I'm ready to offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and pray in the name of God. I'll complete what God asked me to do, and I'll do it in company with his people in the place of worship in God's house in Jerusalem, God's city. Hallelujah. I love the Lord because that's how the writer of this psalm starts off. And then he gives us a partial list of some of the wonderful intangibles that God bestows on us. God's listening ear. A God who gets us through the toughest times, a God who protects us, who rescues us, a God who gives us peace so we can rest, a God who keeps us on track so that we can go the distance even in difficult seasons. And then the writer asks this question most of the way through. What can I offer God for all that he has done for me? Thinking about all of these things that God has done for us often stirs up a response. And the psalmist offers us some ideas for that too. Lifting high the cup of salvation, a toast to God, giving thanks and praise for all that God has done, a testimony. Debbie asked for praise reports this morning, right? Some churches don't take the time to lift those up, to share the stories of God's faithfulness, the ways in which God is actually moving and working and answering prayer. We're good at sharing the needs, but we often don't come back and share the outcomes. And that testimony is a powerful witness to help share not just in here, but out there with the rest of the world about how God is faithful. Another thing the psalmist says we can do because of what God has done for us is to keep our promises to God, to walk in faith. And finally, the psalmist tells us they're ready to offer a thanksgiving sacrifice and pray in the name of God. Thanksgiving sacrifice was a gift that was above and beyond the normal and regular giving. You know, there's been so much devastation in this area since Ian. And I see it every time I come down and I'm driving around in Charlotte County and especially in Lee County. It's still here 7.5 weeks later, and I know that it will take a long time for these communities, for you all, for your neighbors and friends to be made whole. And yet there are tremendous things that have happened, ways that God has been at work through other people and through their generosity. They are thanksgiving sacrifices of people who have gone above and beyond. It was Monday after the storm, and I got a phone call from a friend of mine who pastored with me in the North Central District. She serves two small, tiny rural churches. Both of these churches are part-time appointments. And she said, "Debbie, when I got to church on Sunday morning, leaders from the congregation met me at the door. And they said, 'We want to help.'" And she said, "Okay, we can take up an offering for UMCOR this morning." Right? For hurricane relief. And they said, no, you don't understand. We don't want to take up an offering for UMCOR. We want you to tell everybody this morning that we're going to give the whole Sunday morning offering to hurricane relief." And my friend Shannon said, in my gut, I was going, "But we need that offering. We need that offering to pay the light bill and the salary, right? Like in a small rural church, you need every week's offering, right?" But this is what God had laid on the hearts of these people. And they wouldn't be deterred. And so Shannon said, "We took up an offering. And we don't ever usually get more than about $800 or $900 in the offering plate on Sunday morning, and they sent us $1,450 for hurricane relief because they were moved to respond in generosity and thanksgiving to bless other people." I got another phone call from a pastor in Fort Lauderdale. Monique is a deacon. She serves a really large church there, and she is over all of their preschool ministries, big preschool. And she said the families in the preschool wanted to do something to help. And so they had this idea. Diapers and wipes and formula and baby food are expensive. And if you're dealing with hurricane recovery, that's a big chunk of your budget, right? If you've got little ones that need all of those things. So they did a drive, and when they came to pick up their kids one day, they dropped off all of these items. And Monique said, "It's a huge amount," she said, and "I have it here, and we're trying to figure out how to get it to you because the roads were so clogged with evacuees coming back and flooding, and we were just trying to figure out how to get it here. And so we kind of left it at, we would be praying and trying to figure it out and when it could arrive. And a couple of hours later, she called me back and she said, I don't know why I didn't think of this, but my husband's a boat captain. So Matt brought it around the peninsula by boat. And all I had to do was make sure someone showed up at Burnt Storm Marina at noon with a pickup truck on a Friday. And the pickup truck was overflowing, right, with all that they had sent. And it went to one of our churches to go out with their food pantry ministry, because they wanted to be a blessing, because they had received so much and they understood, we Floridians understand what it's like to go through storms. And when we are not in one, we want to respond to those who are. And so our connection has responded. People who are offering these above and beyond Thanksgiving offerings. What the psalmist lifts up for us reminds me too of the Apostle Paul and his relationship to gratitude that we see in some of the New Testament letters. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi that they should not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present their requests to God. Paul didn't write those words from some lofty bubble. He'd endured dark times and problems and shipwrecks and beatings and imprisonment and unfair criticism and a host of other trials. And yet over and over again, he expressed rejoicing and thanksgiving that nothing could destroy, that was not tied to his circumstances. Having experienced God's grace and mercy and been so radically transformed by it, he wanted everyone else to experience it as well. Thanksgiving's coming up this week. We've been primed to be thankful because of this season of gratitude in which we have found ourselves. But I want this to be something that you can hold on to after Thursday is over. A way in which Thanksgiving can be a spiritual practice for you. I would encourage you to find some way to start noticing and keeping track of the things that you have to be thankful for, and even more than that, the ways in which you see God is at work around you. There was an old hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done. It's not just trite. It is a way that can radically transform your life if you orient your life around Thanksgiving. Remember all of the things that God has done for us and is doing for us. And let our Thanksgiving be a witness to the world around us. Amen.